We've been through quite a lot this season. We've had unrest. We've had this thing called a plague or coronavirus, whatever we want to, bad flu. It's been real. People have lost their lives. We've had spiritual attacks in our nation, in families, in communities. We've had loss. We've had a lot of conflict in our nation around us. We've been shut down in so many ways as a nation. And there's been a lot of loss, and there's been a lot of hurt as a result of that, of being shut down, of being shut in, of being separated from one another. It's affected so many of us. It's affected me. I'm grateful for all that have come back together in person. I know that there are some that still are compromised and they really do need to be careful. But I long for the entire body of Christ to be back together as one. I long for that. We've been through a lot. This has not been an easy season. It's not been an easy season. It's been hard to hold on to hope. Yet I'm very hopeful. I'm kind of fired up. I think maybe I'm just wired that way. You know, we're all wired a little differently. I'm kind of wired for a fight. I'm wired for a battle. I'm wired for change. I'm wired for competition and just wanting to win. I'm kind of wired that way. And I think it's good to have people in the body of Christ that are wired that way, and it's also good to have people in the body of Christ that are just those steady people who help us not go off the deep end when we're ready just to run, you know. And so, but I'm almost enjoying this, to be honest with you. And don't you might think he's sick? What's wrong with that guy? But I'm almost enjoying what's happening right now because I feel like we're getting real. You know what I mean? I feel like we're getting real. And that's I like to be real. For too long, I feel like too much of life, too much of our nation, we've just played games in the name of peace and unity. And there's been no real peace or unity, and we've just played games. I'm so happy that the game is over and the battle is on. You know what I mean? It's like for real. And so, yeah, I'm kind of excited for this season of life. We don't have to be afraid about it. I mean, this is we've needed to come to this moment for a long time. We really have. And so here we are. A lot of circumstances, but I want to remind us, as the body of Christ, we are not led by the circumstances of life that are swirling around us. We are not controlled by the storm. That is not our Lord. That is not who leads us. We're not led by all the noise out there. We just aren't. We're not defined by what's happening around us. And our mission as the church doesn't change. No matter who is the president on January 20th, our mission doesn't change. What we need to do on January 20th does not change from what we need to do now and what, frankly, we should have been doing all along. Our mission doesn't change. No matter how this election ends up, and y'all know I have a preference on how this all kind of shakes out. You know that, right? Because we talked about that. We've looked at political platforms and we've seen that there are some who have a plan for this nation for more babies to be aborted. I don't like that. I don't want those people in charge of this nation. Some in this nation wanna control how and when we can worship and how that's all. I don't like that. I don't want that in our nation. So I have a preference, there's no doubt about it, but however this all shakes out, however it all ends up, it's time for revival. It is. No matter who's in the White House, it's time for revival. It's time, How about this one? It's time for awakening. And I want to talk about that for the next several weeks. Maybe do a series, a mini series. I don't know what this is going to be, because I didn't know what was going to happen this morning. I still don't know what's going to happen this morning. And it's just that season of life, right? That's just kind of where we are. But I feel like we need to talk about awakening. I want to call this little series, mini series, long series, whatever it's going to be, time for awakening. Time for awakening. We've been praying for revival for a long time. Amen? But I believe the Lord has something even greater planned, and that's called awakening. I believe God wants to not stop at revival, but go all the way to this thing called awakening. You see, here's the deal. Revival brings back to life. It revives the people of God. It revives the church. That's what revival is. Revival happens in the church. It brings back to life something that's gone dark or dead, but was alive at one point. So it can be revived because it was alive at one point. So revival is talking about the church. It's talking about us here. And there needs to be revival in the body of Christ. And more we're seeing that. There needs to be revival. Faith has got to rise up. We got to know who we are. And we got to take our stand. And we got to lead instead of following, instead of being afraid. We got to lead in this nation. In every sphere of society and culture, we got to lead. We got to lead. So revival has to happen. It must happen. It can bring us back from that state of slumber and apathy. And I'm saying the church needs some serious revival. It just does. The body of Christ needs some serious revival. In fact, I might rant a little bit, you know. David Hortzman gave me a shirt that says rant on. Here, rant on! And I almost wore that today, but I was thinking, I'm not going to rant today. But and rant is not a bad thing. If you think it's a bad word, look it up in the dictionary. It's not a bad thing. It's actually just, I mean, let's just talk about stuff. Let's get real. Let's dive in. Let's go deep. And let's not let go. You know what I'm saying? Let's not let go of something. And so I thought this week, and just hear me out, and I'm going to cut this shorter than I have with maybe a couple of leaders in the church that I've shared this with, so don't worry if you're an elder or a leader that has heard me say this. I'm not going to go all the way with it. But I believe in the church, part of revival is, I think, I'm just going to say it, I think this is a season of change of leadership in the body of Christ. I think there are voices that we've listened to that might have been for a season, but I think some of those voices were for a season that maybe was a couple decades ago. And that there are voices, that there are people the Lord is using in the body of Christ today that is for such a time as this. That for too long the church has been following teachers instead of following the prophetic word of the Lord. There's a difference. Teachers walk us through line by line what the Word of God says, so we're strong with our doctrine. But then there are leaders in the church who are called to prophetically lead us into what is God saying and how to apply that truth to the culture today so that we are the salt and light and things change. And I believe we're in a season where we need to be open and maybe even being praying into who are those leaders who have that prophetic word and vision for how the church is called to be the leader in the world today and change things for God's glory. So just think about that. Pray into that a little bit. See if you're hearing the same thing from the Lord. That's not in my notes. I didn't plan on talking about that this morning, but I think that's important for us to be processing things in this way. Who wants to go back to normal? Please don't raise your hand. Just keep it down because thank you. Thank you for not raising your hand. We do not want to go back to normal because normal is what got us to where we are right now. It's time for revival in the church. Revival in the church. Part of revival is leadership. Awakening happens not just in the church. Awakening is for nations. Revival happens in the body of Christ, in the church. It brings back to life that which used to be alive but has fallen asleep. But awakening happens in a nation where there are those who have never been alive but need to come to life. Awakening changes nations and even cultures. And I believe it's time for awakening. I believe that's what God's heart is. It's awakening. You know, Jesus hasn't come back because there's more awakening to happen. He wants all to come to a saving knowledge. He wants all to have the opportunity to be saved. That's what Scripture says. God's heart is awakening. He wants awakening to happen in this nation, not just for the church to feel all good and cozy, to fit in, but He wants nations to be saved and rescued. Awakening happens when the revived church exercises their authority on this earth and bring God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. That's when awakening happens. So the church has got to be revived, know our position and our place of authority on this earth, and we have to act in it. Kings and priests, I talked about that several weeks ago, maybe even a month ago. I think it might have been another daily dose devotion. Seriously, get on board with those, share those with others. I'm not saying it's the end-all, be-all for everything, but I'm just saying the Lord is speaking to us. He's speaking to us. He's calling us to be kings and priests. Awakening happens when the fruitless deeds of darkness are exposed and pushed back. That's when awakening happens. Awakening happens when truth prevails and righteousness rules the land. That's when awakening happens. Awakening happens when Jesus is exalted over a nation. Church, wherever you go, exalt the name of Jesus. We're at the Capitol. What did the Holy Spirit stir in me when we were at the prayer meeting at the Capitol? Exalt the name of Jesus right now. You've got over 1,000 believers right here. Lift up the name of Jesus over this state, over this governing authorities right now. Lift up the name of Jesus. Awakening happens when the church is revived and exalts the name of Jesus over the land. Not just in the four walls of the church. This is different when we come together in this way. The Lord loves it. It's got to start. This is where revival happens. This is where we're equipped and encouraged so that we can go out and bring awakening to our land. I'm going to tell you right now, I believe there are a lot of believers. I don't know, man. There are a lot of believers who are ready for this, and there are a lot of believers who are not ready for this. There are a lot of believers who say they're ready for this next season of life. Let's find out. Anyway. Woo! So are you ready for revival? Are you ready for awakening in our land? Because I believe it's all teed up right now. If the church will just step up to that, I mean, just come on, let's take a swing. Let's do it. I believe it's teed up. But we got to have the guts to swing. Books of Chronicles, Ezra, and Nehemiah together lay out a roadmap that teaches us how to recover from a national crisis, teaches us how to awaken as a nation. Chronicles, Ezra, and Nehemiah. We're going to be kind of walking through some of what these books teach us as they're going to guide us. God, how many of you know that we need to be led right now by the Word of God, that the Word of God has a lot to teach us? How many of you know that history can teach us a whole lot? How many of you know that there's a whole lot of history in here and there's a whole lot of direction in here that God's given us so that we can walk in His will and in His power and His authority in our world today so we can be the church today? So we're going to look at what God's Word has to say. We're going to be looking around Ezra, Nehemiah. Chronicles talks about what happened in that time. So we're going to be hanging out there for a while in this mini-series we're calling Time for Awakening. I want to, first of all, check this out. In 606 BC, the Babylonians surrounded Jerusalem. They broke down the walls. They carried virtually everyone into captivity. The Israelites lost everything. They lost everything. Their freedom, their homes, their jobs, their identity, even their loved ones. They lost everything. The Babylonians, the ungodly, came in and they took over. For 70 years, the Israelites lived in refugee camps. But then God set them free. He set them free. He used a Persian king named Cyrus to conquer the Babylonians. It says this in 2 Chronicles 36, verse 23. This is what Cyrus, the king of Persia, says. He says, this is an ungodly king. But listen to what he says. Listen to what Cyrus says. He says, the Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has appointed me to build a temple for him at Jerusalem in Judah. Any of his people among you may go up, and may the Lord their God be with them. This is what God can do. When things look broken, when we look like we're in captivity, when it looks like nothing can change, God can do the impossible. He can turn it around. He can change it. Suddenly. I preached a sermon about suddenly, the suddenlies of God. He's a God of the suddenly. He can do the impossible. So in 536 BC, the Israelites returned home. They packed up their possessions, their children. They marched 800 miles to the Holy Land, back to Jerusalem. And God sent them with some leaders. God gave them two spirit-filled leaders, Nehemiah and Ezra, to help lead them in this recovery, in this rebuilding. See, leadership is important. That's why elections matter. We've been talking about that for several months, right? Leadership is important. Nehemiah, as a leader, he gave the people of God the wall. In other words, he was the leader that helped build back up the physical city of Jerusalem, the wall, the safety of the people. But another leader that God sent with the Israelites was Ezra. And Ezra gave people the word. Nehemiah rebuilt the nation's capital. Ezra, you could say, rebuilt the nation's character. And we need some rebuilding in our nation. And primarily what we need is some rebuilding of our character in this nation. Israel was in captivity for 70 years. Velvet and I were talking about this. She sometimes, what are you going to preach about? So I kind of share a little bit. And we got talking about this. And what's interesting is I think there's some correlation. 70 years in captivity. A couple generations of Israelites growing up, not knowing freedom. And I believe that we have the same thing in this nation. I believe we've had up to 70 years nearly of captivity, at least two generations in this nation who've been raised in spiritual captivity. Hear me out. Here's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a nation where the church was in decline. That's been going on for two generations. A church where we're just kind of, we're in the background. We're declining. Two generations in this nation, that's been the reality. Been laying down, submitting to Caesar, trying to fit in with culture instead of changing it. That's exactly what was going on with the Israelites and the Babylonians. Well, they conquered us. They're in charge now. We just need to go along to get along just so we can survive and everything will be okay and all of that. That's what was going on for 70 years. That's what's been going on in our nation for two generations. Prayer, the Bible removed from the public square, from schools. Our kids have been indoctrinated. Two generations have been indoctrinated into humanistic ideologies, anti-Christ principles that have been pumped into their skulls and that have gone into their belief system. For two generations, this has happened. A spiritual captivity that we've allowed to happen in our nation. A time of, be honest with you, spiritual darkness. Like, man, that sounds awfully... It's real. If we open our eyes and look around and we're willing to, and it's happened on our watch. It's even happened on my watch. Man, this has been convicting. It's been frustrating. This has been hard to process. But man, we got to process life like for real. Okay, stop hiding our heads in the sand and go, la la la. Everything's okay. And yeah, we did a good job and everything's gonna be fine. We just got to keep believing, whatever that is. Right? Come on. Church leadership has been hiding behind doctrine instead of leading us in mission. That's what I was talking about earlier. Our doctrine is good. We're preaching the gospel of grace. Meanwhile, we have two generations in our nation that have been lost to spiritual captivity. All right, leadership matters. I got to keep preaching here. Leadership matters. It matters in a nation, it matters in a church. So this, let me just get down to this. I have a question for us. Who's really leading you? Leadership matters. Who's leading you? So that'll be the title. I'm finally getting to the title of this message. All right? That's the title of this message. Who is leading you? It's time for awakening. We got to be able to answer that question. You got to be able to answer that question. Who is leading you? Who are you listening to? That's how you know who's leading you. Who are you listening to and who are you following? That's how you know who's leading you. It matters in a nation who's leading us. Nations rise and they fall because of leaders. Again, read the book. We see it time and time again. But who's leading us as the people of God? Romans 8:14 says this. Romans 8:14 says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God." All right, now you're thinking, I can see where he's going with this. All right, you're sharp. All right? Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Ezra, Nehemiah, we got to be like them. These are guys that were led by, leaders led by the Spirit of God, led by what God was calling for such a time as what was going on in the world at that time. Listening to the voice in the heart of God, going before kings, doing the great and impossible things, rebuilding nations, not just physically, but spiritually rebuilding nations. Like Ezra, like Nehemiah, we got to be people. We got to be a church that's being led by the Spirit of the living God. Point number one, you will follow the one you listen to. So who's leading you? Well, you're going to follow the one that you're listening to. All right, so how many of you know Dave Caldwell? He's one of our elders here at Evident Life Church. This is a guy who prays and fasts a whole lot, listens to what God is saying. We were in a prayer meeting on a Saturday morning about a month and a half ago, and sometimes the things that Dave says seem strange, right? That's okay. So he came out and he said, "Listen, man, the world and even the church has been getting their information from the second heaven rather than going to the third heaven and listening to what God is really saying." Now hang with me. You're like, where is he going with this? Did we just become one of those kind of churches? All right. We've always been, by the way. So anyway. By the way, Paul talked about going to the third heaven. I know a man, he's talking about himself. It's kind of like, and I'm just asking for a friend. But Paul said, you know, I know a man who went to the third heaven and all this. So this is all biblical. This is how God looks at things, okay? It's how God looks at things. And there's this place, there's this second heaven that most people, and I would say even as I've been watching in this season and over the last several years, even most Christians find themselves listening and getting their information and their perspective on life from the second heaven. So let's talk about what the second heaven is. First of all, the second heaven is the territory of the prince of the air. And there's many voices in the second heaven that are directed by the prince of the air, like the media. Turn on the news, stream it in. What's going on? What's reality? Well, let's turn on CNN. Let's turn on Fox. You know, let's see what Hollywood's saying. What's LeBron James say is reality? What's whatever, you know, whoever. We're looking for reality, and we're looking in those areas that are really led by the prince of the air. Academia, That's been part of the issue that we've had for two generations. We've allowed our kids to go and be filled with all of this second heaven, all of this prince of the air knowledge, quote unquote knowledge, really deceit and twisted worldview. Who are we listening to? Public opinion? Many are listening to the opinions of Christian teachers even and what they're having to say. It's all the voice of man. It's the wisdom of man. It's all led by the flesh. That's that area of the second heaven, of the prince of the air. But we're called to listen at a higher level. We're called to listen at that level that Paul was talking about when he says, you know, a man that went to the third heaven. We're called to listen at that level of the third heaven, that space that's occupied by the voice of God. That's what we're supposed to be listening to as the church, as the people of God. That's what drives us. That's what leads us. That's where we get our direction and our understanding of reality and how to respond as the body of Christ. Going to that place, spending the time, being serious enough to get into that place of hearing what God has to say. And that being our primary source of information. Oh, I read my Bible and all that. Yeah? What other voices and how often, what are we really listening to? It says this in Ephesians 2, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air. Followed the ways of the world. You were dead. You followed the ways of the world. And what did call them? The prince of the kingdom of the air. That's what we're talking about here. That second heaven, right? The spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. So in other words, you're listening to the lost. You're listening to voices that are not from heaven, that are not from God, that are coming from a completely lost, dark place. The prince of the kingdom of the air. Verse 6, and God raised us up, though, with Christ. And he seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. So that's where we're supposed to be getting our direction. That's who we're supposed to be listening to. Because we've been seated in the heavenly realms, we need to be listening in the heavenly realms to what the voice of God is saying and no longer listening to what the prince, the spirit of the air, is saying. Who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? Again, Dave said this. He said, Dave Caldwell said, listening to the media, meaning that second heaven, listening to the media is no different than Eve listening to the serpent. Think about that. Process it. It's true. When he said that to me, I'm like, oh my. It's the same voice with the same desire to get us to take a bite, to miss out on what God has for us. Too many Christians are listening to the ruler of the kingdom of the air, all that other stuff. There's a story, it goes like this. Lester Sumrall, he showed up at Smith Wigglesworth's house, and he had a newspaper, he had a coffee, I think, and the newspaper under one arm. And usually he's just able to walk right in because they're friends, and Wigglesworth is discipling Sumrall, you know, and all that. But Smith Wigglesworth says, hey, stop, you can't come in here. He's like, what are you talking about? I can't come in here. He's like, that thing under your arm, uh-uh. You're not walking in my house with that. You're not bringing, what, I can't bring a newspaper in the house? He's like, no. Throw it away. And this is what Wigglesworth said. He says, I don't permit those lies into my house. In my house, there's only truth, and that thing that you're bringing in here is full of lies. Because, you see, he understood. That's all that second heaven stuff. That's all that prince of the air stuff. That's all what the lost world is trying to paint as reality and truth. He's like, don't bring that stuff in here because that's not what we're going to be listening to. We're going to go to God and listen to what he has to say. And he defines what reality is and how we're going to respond and live and lead. Galatians 5:25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. We got to be led by the Spirit. We're not called to keep in step with the culture. Church, we got to hear this. We got to know this. We are not called to keep in step with the culture. Forget that. That's been a lie that's been on the church for probably a couple decades right now. Well, we got to fit in with the culture in order to change the culture. That's a lie from the pit of hell. It's not in the Word of God. It's just not. We are not called to keep in step with the culture. We are called to keep in step with the Spirit of God. Period. And I would say that the world needs a church that's not keeping in step with them. The world needs a church that's keeping in step with the Spirit of God, because the world's lost and hurting. We're going to follow the one that we listen to. So who are you listening to? And I think you need to examine that for your own life. Who are you listening to? There's a lot of noise out there right now. There's a lot of voices that want you to listen to them. They're going to tell you how it is. Who are you listening to? I'm going to tell you this. If you're not intentionally listening to the voice of God, you're listening to the other voices. If you are not intentionally getting into the presence and into the Word of God, then you are being led by the other voices. That's just the reality. Point number two. We got to be led by the Word of God. Being led by the Spirit of God means being led by the Word of God, the Bible. 2 Timothy says this, all Scripture is God-breathed by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit has breathed all Scripture, and it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So God's Word is the Spirit of God, and it is what we need to lead us. So being led by the Bible is being led by the Spirit. It's easy to fall into the trap of being led by a broken culture, by political agendas. It's just so easy. It's so easy to be led by Fox News. Most of you in this room have probably caught yourself, you know, oh yeah, now we all hate Fox News because the way they handled the election results and all that kind of stuff. All right, whatever. It's because we were listening to them, because we thought, oh yeah, these people, we can listen to them and trust them. No. Let me tell you what, Fox News never was listening in the third heaven to the voice of God. They weren't, okay? Let's not fool ourselves. There's a lot of people disappointed today because they were listening to the wrong voices. Whose report will you believe? Whose report will you believe? Let the Word of God, not CNN or Fox, be the lamp to your feet. Let the Word of God, the Word given to us by the Spirit of God, be your guide, be your primary source, the loud voice that leads you day by day. That's what it looks like to be led by the Spirit. You should be getting more of this every day than all the other noise out there. Amen. Quantity matters. Okay, don't fool yourself. Quantity matters. And when you're in this, be led by the Spirit and let the Spirit of God make this very relevant and real to life today, because it is. It is. Listen. Listen to what the Spirit of God is saying. Point number three. Here's how you know you hear God, and here's how you know that you're following God and not man, is that you do what God says. Let me just say it this way. We can say we're Christians and that we're listening to God and all of that, but if we're not doing what the Lord says, if we're not on mission, then we're not really listening. We're not. Because if you listen to your leader and you know who he is and you know what your role is because you've listened and you're submitted and you trust, man, you're going to be on mission. You're going to be following. And it's not going to be taking you where the world is going. It's not going to be taking you to more worldly success. Although the Lord will bless people. He'll bless believers. It's going to take you to the mission of heaven. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. I'm telling you, we are moving into a season. Again, I said it earlier. I believe the body of Christ has been led too long by teachers and not by prophets or leaders. There's a difference. So we've listened for a long time. We've done a lot of listening for the last two generations. Where have we been lacking? The doing. A lot of listening. Not near enough. Here's a shocking statement the Lord gave me. You know that a Christian who memorizes one verse of the Bible and then actually lives it and shares it with others is way more walking in the will of God than a Christian who's memorized an entire book of the Bible yet never shares it and never lives it and never does it. I'm just being real with you right now. I want this church filled with Christians who can know whatever scripture the Lord has given them and then live it and do it. I mean, like, for real, do it. I'm not, in no way, don't hear what I'm not saying. I love the Bible. I mean, you guys know where I stand on that. I teach expositorily through the Word of God so many times. I mean, but we got to stop thinking that studying the Bible and learning the Bible is the same as being on mission. It's not. It's like reading the playbook and thinking that you're on the court winning a game. You're not. You better know the plays. You got to know them. If you don't know them, you're going to be pulled off the field because you're just getting in the way. You're just taking up space. So you got to know the playbook. You better know it front and back. It better be like oozing out of you, like waking you up in the middle. You better be like even dreaming the playbook, right? But it's knowing the playbook is not being on the field. It's not the same thing. It's not. So it's time for the church to get on the field and like live it. And when you're on the field, you're going to take hits. And it's going to hurt from time to time. I've been knocked out on the field. It hurts. I'll tell you a story later. I don't have time for it. It hurts. It hurts. Faith without works is dead. Dead faith doesn't bring awakening. And the world needs a Spirit-led church. It says in Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Has the Holy Spirit come on you? You know it because you've received power, okay? That's what Scripture says. That you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And here's the evidence that you have the power of God. You will be my witnesses, the Lord says, in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. How do we know who we're following? How do we know who we're listening to? We will be those who are filled with the Spirit of God, filled with power, and out in our world bringing awakening. On the field. Doers of the Word. My final point is we hear better together. Nehemiah had everybody working on the wall. They did it together. They found success and God's blessings together. Church, we need to be on mission. I'm going to tell you right now, if I'm your pastor, that's what we're going to do. We're going to be on mission. We're not just going to be fat, dumb, and happy. We're not just going to hide, go along to get along. Jesus said this in Revelation 2 times. He's recorded as saying, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." I believe that this is a season when we, the church, need to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. So that's why I'm excited. That's why I think this is an amazing time to be alive and to be the body of Christ. This is exciting. This is exciting. And I hope that you'll join me in this amazing journey, in this mission. I hope that you'll join me out on the field of play. I really do. And I'm grateful I'm not doing this alone. We got so many leaders and so many others here in this church that are like the real deal. But I want you to join me. We need one another. We're better together. We're more successful. One can put 1,000 to flight. 2 can send 10,000 fleeing. It's exponential what we can do together. We do not have to be afraid. We do not have to be worried. What can the enemy do to us? He can't steal our salvation, our eternity with Christ Jesus. He can't take anything of eternal value. He can't do any of that. Man, we're secure in all of that, and we have what this world needs. And so we're going to move forward in confidence. We're going to glorify God. We're going to listen to what the Lord has to say, what the Spirit of God has to say. And that's what we're going to follow in this season. Amen. That's what we're going to follow. I want you to stand up. We're going to close. Hey, also keep your calendars open for a week from Monday. We may do an event with Dr. Andrew Jackson, kind of come together and talk a little bit about how to respond to the current situation with the election and everything, how to process this more, kind of a Q&A time, a time for open mic for people to ask questions and for us to process things as the body of Christ together. So just keep that open. We don't know if we're going to do that yet for sure, but there's a potential a week from Monday. Not tomorrow, but a week from tomorrow. If you're comfortable, just raise your hands to the Lord. It's just an act of surrender and trust and hope in Him. Lord, we come to You as Your church. God, forgive us for the past where maybe we've just fallen into listening to other voices and whatever it is that's just allowed us to not be fully engaged, Lord. Forgive us for that. Thank You for mercy. Thank You, God, that You pick up those who've fallen, God, and that You get us back up. That Lord, that we are here now for You. God, we are here, we're available, and we want to be Your church for such a time as this, God. We want to be Your army. We want to be Your ministers, God, kings and priests in this world today, Lord. Lord, may we be those who trust You so much that we actually live it out. God, I bless this church. I bless everybody who's here today, everybody who's watching online, God, that we would be fully alive, encouraged, and full of hope because, Jesus, You're on the throne, and we love You and we trust You. In Your name we pray, amen.